Welcome to the Six Ways from Sunday podcast. My name is Ben Wilson. I'm your host, and I'm just back from a couple weeks of holidays, and I'm sitting down today with Robin King, who's our minister at the Basha United Church and the Pinocchio United Church. And if you haven't been listening to this podcast, basically what we're doing is creating a series of informal conversations over a cup of coffee where Robin and I, and sometimes other guests, discuss various topics of faith. And the Six Ways from Sunday online community really is all about exploring how we live, how we think, and how we love in the world, and about spreading that message of love. So over the last few weeks, Robin and I have been going through the lectionary and exploring different stories through the Gospel of Mark, I believe, right, Robin?
Yes.
And yeah. You can tell I've been on holidays for a while. I'm already forgetting where we're at in the Bible. But picking up from last week's discussion, or maybe it was the one before that, there was the story of Jesus performing the miracle of feeding the crowds with a couple of loaves of fish and loaves of bread and some fish.
You have been on holiday, haven't you?
It could have been fish loaf, something like that. Anyway, this morning, before Robin walked in, I was looking up in the lectionary, which is the listing of what the scripture readings are each week that are recommended, and looking at what the story is for this Sunday coming up. So what Robin and I often do is we look at the lectionary, and we use that as a jumping off point for our conversation, and we just see where the conversation takes us. But we, as Robin's thinking about what he's going to be talking about in church coming up the following Sunday, these conversations are kind of planting some seeds for him, I hope, or getting the juices flowing for thinking about what he's going to be preaching about, and what he's going to be writing about in his blog, which he posts every week as well. And you can check out those blog posts as well as videos of Robin's sermons from Basha and Pinocchio at risingspiritministry.com. So thanks so much for being with us and joining us this morning. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you sharing these podcasts with your friends. And Robin, thank you for joining me again today. So as I was looking at the lectionary this morning, it said that basically the continuation from following after Jesus feeds the crowds, people, the crowd goes across the lake to find Jesus, and they want more bread is what it sounds like the story is about. And then from there, Jesus goes into how he is the bread of life. So are we going to be talking about bread this morning, or what have you got in store for us?
Are we? I don't know. Are we? Kind of, I guess. Sure, we can talk about bread. I love bread. Do you love bread? I love bread.
I love sandwiches.
I love bread, like freshly made bread with like some butter on it, even whole wheat, or maybe that like multigrain, something like that, that's got some consistency to it. People like bread, right? Most people.
You know
like
what
bread.
I really like is dipping bread in balsamic vinegar and olive oil.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. This story has nothing to do with that, by the way, but yeah, that's.
Or maple syrup. You get a little.
That's okay. That's a little. Oh no, maybe. Okay.
You just get a little plate of and just pour some pure like Canadian maple syrup.
You're probably maple syrup on your French toast person, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. This story's not really about bread, of course. I mean, it's a metaphor. But maybe that's the point of this little chunk of the story that we got this week is that the people clearly don't understand that. This is the beginning of this whole chapter, actually, is Jesus talking about being the bread of life. Mm-hmm. There's several instances in John's gospel where Jesus says, I am the something. I am the light of the world. Mm-hmm. I am the bread of life. And this little piece is, as you say, is right after the story of the feeding of the 5,000. That was a link to... in a way, like it's a not really a link so much as a left out piece. We just finished up a whole bunch of the Gospel of Mark, with a story that actually leaves out that story. And then the next week we had it from the Gospel of John. So here we are, the bread of life. Jesus has fed the crowd, and they're still following him, and they come up to him, and they want to be fed even more. Mm-hmm. And the question is whether or not they realize what they're being fed with, I think. Because they come to Jesus and they say they want to be fed, they want to be fed more. They even, the crowd in John's telling of it, the crowd even references the story of Moses feeding the Israelites in the wilderness with manna. Mm-hmm. And but there's a couple of really interesting, interesting little lines in here that I think reveal something not just about this story, but about how this story is meaningful, most meaningful to us. Part of it is about signs.
How do you mean?
Well, they ask Jesus to do something. They want him to do a sign. Show us. Mm-hmm. Show us a sign. Like, do us a trick, kind of a thing, right? Like, prove it, right? And it's actually not surprising. Like, if you had this story isolated, that's not surprising, because in that era, if you wanted to prove that you were a prophet or a mystic, you had to do something. Right. You had to do there's actually a really funny, Rowan Atkinson skit where he tells the story of, the wedding at Cana,
okay,
where Jesus changes the water into wine, and how no one knew from whence it had come. And then it goes on to say in his telling of the story, but the people in the kitchen knew, and they applauded loudly. And then they go up to Jesus, and they wanted to do his another one, right?
Right.
They want, and so he pulls a carrot out of a hat or something, and it goes on. But of course, basically, he turns the story from Jesus does a miracle into it was a magic act, and it's just a trick,
party,
right?
Trick, yeah.
And which is really an inch, and I know it's lots of people are already going to be thinking that's irreverent, it's sacrilegious, it's, you know, but actually, it makes a really good point. And the point is made even more clear in this story, which is, here's these people saying, show us a sign, like do something for us.
Yeah.
But if you put that story in its context, the reason the crowd is following Jesus around is because he's been doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
And he just fed a crowd. I mean, however you tell that miracle story, the miracle is that the crowd was fed.
Yeah.
Before that, Jesus has been healing people. He's been teaching and everything. But
casting
out demons. He's been doing all this stuff, mm-hmm, already, and that's you imagine Jesus, doing that the face palm, right? Like he's just like smacking the palm into his forehead and going like, honestly, come on, people, because it's like they don't see the signs and. And in fact, what Jesus says is, you came for the bread. Do you want me to give you more bread? Like, you just saw me do this other thing, and you're hungry still, so you want more bread. Even that's a metaphor, right? Because, mm-hmm, of course, they're still hungry. They just don't know what they're hungry for. There's, I know this sounds like it's a random leap and everything, but every time I read this story, because I used to be a huge fan of, well, I still am, of Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
Read all the stories and everything. I think it's Scandal in Bohemia is the story, which it's one of those moments where Watson is just has no idea how Holmes came up with the conclusion, right? And he said, how do you do that? And Holmes basically says, well, the thing is, you see, but you don't observe. Like, the sign is there. You just don't see it. You see it. It's right in front of your face. You just haven't observed it and connected it to anything. You
haven't interpreted it.
Right? Yeah. And the example Holmes gives is, how many steps are there up to our front door?
Mm.
And for how many hundreds of times they've gone through that door and everything, Watson, of course, has no idea. He just knows there are steps, but he has no idea how many. And, of course, Holmes knows exactly how many there are, because every time he goes up them, he observes that there are this many steps. And then he connects it to something, right? That's how his whole deduction thing works.
Right.
He observes it, and then follows it through to what it could potentially mean, right? And here's an example of that. Like they have seen him do the signs. They've heard him about him doing the signs. He just fed a crowd of people. It was a miracle. Is a miracle. In fact, that's an interesting quirk in the story, is that when the crowd reminds Jesus about Moses feeding the Israelites in the wilderness with manna, he reminds them that in fact it wasn't Moses, it was God that did that.
Yeah.
It's God, and he said, and the tense changes. He says it's God who gives the bread, right?
Not gave the bread.
Not gave, but gives. And that's connecting, of course, the story about Moses and the manna to Jesus, right?
Right.
And people are still being fed. What are they being fed with? Well, we're not cannibals. We're not actually going to eat Jesus, despite the fact that there were times early on, I'm sure, where people looked at Christians in that moment of and still Roman Catholics believe, right, transubstantiation, that the bread actually become the body and blood, that people kind of thought Christians are cannibals. but again, it's a freaking metaphor, for crying out loud. And I think that's part of the point of the story, is that Jesus is just like guys, not so literal. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so, and maybe now I can move you to understanding that it's not literally about, you know, the loaf of bread thing, that I'm the bread. Okay, it's a metaphor, you got it, and it means. And you could just imagine, like, Jesus going to the crowd, and it means, and the crowd going, yeah, we still don't get it.
Yeah.
No idea. And maybe there's a few, maybe the disciples, hopefully the 12 got it, but maybe there's a few who got it.
Yeah, they seem pretty dense at points, too.
But though, here's a point at which I think the Sherlock Holmes thing is relevant to me, is that the point isn't just that he sees it and observes it. There's, let's say there's 14 steps. I forget how many there is exactly, but let's say there is that many. Then he connects that to something.
Mm-hmm.
How much time or effort it might take him to get up the stairs if he had to escape quickly, which is the fastest escape route. If somebody's coming to the door, how long will it take them to get there from the, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He thinks it through, applies it, and figures it out. In other words, he uses it.
Right.
Right? And there's the thing. For all of the time that we say stuff like, Jesus is the bread of life, we are fed by Jesus, the bread of life. What does that mean?
And how do we use it?
And how do you use it? What does it mean exactly? Because it clearly doesn't mean the literal, you know.
Mm-hmm. And,
but, to continue the metaphor, why do you eat bread? Actually, that's not fair, because I eat bread because I like it. I eat too much, and that's why I look like this. But
it sustains you.
But it sustains me. Yes. Well, and see, that's the thing, though, is that with Jesus, we talk about how Jesus is the bread of life. We are fed by Jesus. Well, but how exactly are you fed by Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And to say Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus sustains me. You need to unpack that a little bit. Because it's not like you're taking, you know, a slice of bread and eating it and digesting it, and it becomes whatever it becomes, energy or whatever in your system, right? It's not like that. So you need to unpack that a little bit. So what is it about Jesus that feeds you? Is it the words and the stories? Is it the idea? Is it the application of the idea? What is it? Because there's so much there. The idea that to me, the idea that Jesus is the bread of life isn't just about the words Jesus says and the story that is told through Jesus. It's, first of all, where that bread comes from. And this is why I think that the I am the bread of life thing connects to the manna, is, and that the Jesus pointing out that it wasn't Moses. I love to tell that story. By the way, I love to tell that story to kids about Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness. And every time the Israelites complain about something and Moses goes to God and comes back and fixes it for them, I have the Israelites go, "Way to go, Moses." And Moses go, "No, it wasn't me, it was God." And the crowd just goes, "Way to go, Moses," because they totally don't get it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Jesus is saying, is that I am the bread of life.
I'm not the source of the
bread. I am not the source. God is the source. Mm-hmm. God's the, there's a wonderful, I think it's Ruth Duck, who wrote this wonderful prayer about baker woman God, where God is the baker woman who makes the bread. Mm. And see, that to me, that connects with the whole, I'm like doing 1,000 things right at the moment now, right? But that also connects with the idea that Jesus being the bread of life, and the source, the coming from the source, that Jesus is the example for us to also be the bread of life to feed others.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so that then connects to Jesus, what not just what Jesus says, but what Jesus does, right? And that's the walk the talk thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's one thing to say that Jesus is the bread of life and Jesus feeds me. But if all that's happening there is that you're hearing the story or you're listening to the words, how are you actually being fed? And furthermore, how are you feeding others? And the answer is you're not, by the way, on that part. Because the only way to feed others is to share the bread.
Right.
And to be the bread,
yeah.
Right? To be part of that
idea.
And that's where I think in this story, it's simply pointing out that people have seen the sign, but they've not observed the meaning.
Yeah.
Right?
We have this thing at home that, so Kelly, my wife, and Grayson, our youngest, who's 3.5, well, almost 4, for a long time now, she's had this running thing with Grayson where he's really snuggly and he's really affectionate. And she'll say to Grayson, "Oh, Grayson, I'm empty. I need you to fill me up." And he'll come running over and just like hug her and kiss her a whole bunch. And she'll say, "No, I'm still empty. I need more." And he'll just keep kissing her until she says, "Oh, okay, now I'm full again." And so we just have this running thing with him that he needs to come and just give us all his love. And that fills us up. And really, I kept thinking about that as you were talking, because this parallel between the sustenance of manna or bread or French toast and the metaphor of just going out and being love. And we talk about that on this podcast all the time. Be the love, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's, to me, that's how you do, fill each other up, is you be love to others. And that's being bread. Or that's how Jesus sustained his followers and sustains us still, mm-hmm. is that he's that example of the love that we are striving to be in the world.
There is, yes, that's really good. I love that story about, you should tell that story about Grayson more often, because that's really, I think that makes a really, that's a really good way of telling that. It's kind of like the have you filled your bucket today story, right? Mm-hmm. It is a really great way of telling that, and it reminds me actually too that this is, here's another thing about this, you know, there are times when we say things like, well, we hear Jesus say, "I am the bread of life." Jesus is not literally a loaf of bread. "I am the life of the. I am the light of the world." Jesus is not literally a candle or a flashlight. Jesus says, "I am," other things, or Jesus is described. There's one that's, I've never really got, the pearl of great price. I've never really got that one myself, but you know, there. And that's the point, is that there are so many ways that we describe Jesus, so mm-hmm. many metaphors that we use, so many ways that we describe Jesus, so that. Everyone can understand, because there isn't one that is flawless.
One size fits all.
Yeah. There's no single way of that you can't sort of, there isn't a point at which it breaks down, I think is the thing, right? The bread metaphor eventually, like even if it's as simple as, you know, not a loaf of bread, the thing kind of breaks down. What if you need gluten-free? There's, you know, what if you can't have the bread? For all of those metaphors, there's a point at which, even the light one, right? "I am the light of the world." But what about the darkness? Because the darkness isn't all bad. We explored that actually in one of the contemporary church things recently.
Yeah, I remember that.
That there are good things about walking in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And we can find and explore things in the dark. And there's a guy, his name's gone out of my head now, but I remember watching a little clip of him doing this thing where he goes through all of the is an English guy. I want to say John something, but his name's gone out of my head. So hopefully somebody will remember, because I lost this video and can't find it again. But he goes through all of the images that are used to describe Jesus, okay. including the bread of life, and so that bakers will understand, including all of these images. And after each one, he goes, so that whoever will understand, right?
Right.
And then he finally, he gets to the end of all of this. Jesus is the one, so that we will all understand. And I like to think, and I'm not absolutely certain of this because I have a feeling that it is very much about Jesus is the only one. But I like to think that what that means is that that's the way in which Jesus being all of those things reminds us that we are all connected, that we are one in this sort of basic way that we're all mm-hmm. connected, right? And to me, that hooks right back into the, you know, God is the source. That's why Jesus is the bread that feeds us. An example of like the manna that feeds us. And as we are fed, we can feed others,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is just a kickoff to that whole chapter of being the bread of life. And of course, we kick it off with reminding everybody that we don't always understand and that we often just leap to the obvious thing. And that is that Jesus fed a bunch of people, so now he can feed me. And the thing about that is that, literally feed me. And the thing about that is that's not wrong either, though. Is that part of being the bread of life to others is that we do take responsibility for ensuring that people are fed.
Yeah,
and housed and clothed, yeah, exactly. and taken care of. That is part of the way that Jesus feeds us, is with the spirit to do those things.
Yeah. And you can't ignore that is Maslow's hierarchy of human needs, right? That pyramid of that, you know, it's great to want to nourish people spiritually and take care of their mental and emotional needs. But if they're struggling to just survive another day and they don't have shelter, they don't have food, they don't feel safe, they don't have anyone in their lives, you have to start with those most basic needs first before they can even be ready to receive anything that's higher up on the ladder.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and yes.
And Jesus would have been dealing with a lot of people who were physically starving.
Yes.
Physically hungry. And potentially
physically, physically broken, physically in need of healing, physically in need of care.
Your basic human needs were not always secure.
And I imagine a fairly significant number of the people who followed Jesus around were also homeless.
Yeah.
That's why they were maybe following Jesus around. There's all sorts of ways to remind ourselves that's why sometimes I think I sometimes think this is a fabricated story.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to say that too loud, he said into the microphone. I sometimes think this is one of those fabricated stories. And I think there's a few in John's gospel. But I think, but for effect. Because honestly, nobody's that stupid. Like, it's like the people are following Jesus because he's been doing all these signs. And they come to him and say, do us a sign to prove that you're who you say you are? Really? I think that the story was told that way in order to make the point from Jesus that you have seen the signs, you're simply not observing the meaning,
mm-hmm.
right? You're not connecting with the point of this. And in fact, actually, that's not fair because actually historically, we are actually really stupid about stuff like that, right? We don't learn from our mistakes. We don't learn from doing the right thing either. As it happens, we seem to just redo old stuff. It's kind of where we're at now, isn't it, in the world? But it's one of those moments where the crowd kind of represents not just people who are following Jesus around, but all of us. Mm-hmm. We need to see, we need to observe, not just see. We need to observe. And we need to connect that observation to things, right? We need to see not only that it's nice to say that it's nice to say that Jesus is the bread of life. That's great. What does that mean? And how is it feeding you? And how are you feeding others now that you have been fed? Because you recall, we just heard a story about how there was only two fish and five loaves, right? And it fed everyone. And see, again, I like to think that that story is really about the miracle of sharing rather than everything was just handed to you.
Right.
But and because I think in order for things to truly be a meaningful miracle to us, we have to have a part in it. Right. Mm-hmm. And even in this story, we have to have a part in this story. It is not enough to say, I feel good. I feel good because I am fed by Jesus, the bread of life.
The end.
That's nice. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
Because if you think you feel good just because you heard a great story and, you know, somebody on Sunday morning reminded you that Jesus is love, and then you go out and not do that, mm-hmm. you haven't been fed at all.
Mm-hmm.
You've just been given the warm fuzzies for 5 minutes. You might as well have had a bag of potato chips, right? Or junk food, right?
That's, yeah, yeah.
It's like you might as well.
Quick fix.
You had a quick fix, and now you're hungry again.
Yeah.
And but when we actually connect to the meaning of that, and we share it and feed others, we continue to feed ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not just a quick fix, but fulfillment, right?
Absolutely. That nails it. So Kelly and I have been listening to a lot of podcasts lately from a few different ones. And I've thought about that frequently where you get really inspired. Not like it could be reading a good book or going to church on Sunday, listening to a great podcast. You get inspired. You get these new ideas in your head. But it doesn't really affect your life in a really deep way unless you go out and then live it out. Like, mm-hmm. let it change how you're living, right? So I really hope that people are listening to this and that people take some of the ideas, concepts, inspiration from these conversations, and that it affects their lives. So we would love to hear from people listening. If you've got a story, feedback, anything that you've listened to on this show that's made a difference in your life, or that you would like to hear about that would make a difference, we'd love to hear about that as well. You can get in touch with us through the website, risingspiritministry.com. Robin, thanks so much for this conversation.
It's Ben.
It's great to be back from holidays and back in the podcast chair, sharing a cup of coffee, and look forward to the next time. So
thanks
everybody for listening. Thanks for joining us. And remember, be the love. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.